Hi everyone. Hope you're having a beautiful day. It is a rainy spring day here in Canada, Collingwood, Ontario. Some people call this weather horrid, horrible. We had a bout of sunshiny weather a few weeks ago, and then everyone was complaining that the cold, horrible, rainy weather was returning. And one thing that I like to do is, as best as possible, not complain about the weather and say that every weather is beautiful. Every weather has its perks. I mean, it can be wonderful to be cozied up at home on a rainy, gloomy day. I also love how green the grass is after these days. And I know that the gardens here did need some spring rain. I'm curious, how do you do with the weather? I have to say that at the end of winter, I think that's just kind of a given, especially in Canada through March, when it's still below zero and snowy and you're done with winter. That is when I have a hard time not complaining about weather. Then in April, I tell myself that the leaves come in May. The green leaves come in May here in Canada. That's when it gets really nice. So any extra nice weather we get in April is a plus. And also, I love that we don't have to wear all of our winter stuff. So it's still an improvement from winter. I'm also feeling kind of a sort of come down after winter through April. Winter was very difficult for us, as I shared a few times on the podcast. We were mostly at home, just dealing with illness. And I'm realizing that it might be because I skipped out on vitamin D for a few months. I'm not proud of this, and it's maybe a little vulnerable to be sharing here. But in some of my circles, it was going around that vitamin D was interfering or does interfere with the absorptions of certain minerals. And I think that could still be possible. But I have to say that 8 years ago, after my postpartum depression with my first daughter, when I added in vitamin D and omega-3s, I noticed a really big difference. And I've sworn by them ever since that time. And this was the first winter that I don't know, I just thought we could go without them. We're eating more meat, we're eating more bacon products and pork fat and things like that. Pork belly, cured pork belly, something that my husband makes that he used to eat in Russia. And it does contain some vitamin D and a bunch of other minerals. And I thought that our diet was sufficient and we didn't need supplements. And I think that that was a big mistake, especially since we didn't get outside as much. Seeing as that we were sick and we had the baby, I definitely could have used that vitamin D. And when I'm nursing, the last time I nursed, I was taking quite high doses, like 5,000 IUs, even sometimes more, through nursing. There's an article where a medical doctor was saying that you can go really high in your dosing for vitamin D and that it can get passed through the breast milk. And so with my second pregnancy, I did that all through the pregnancy, and my mood and energy and immune system were very strong. And this time around, I didn't take it through the winter and I felt it. I was also kind of on 100% go mode 24/7 for 2 months, taking care of the 3 children who were alternating between being up at night. So I think I'm reaching a level of sleep deprivation that is next level. But I've added back in my vitamin D, my omega-3s. Shatavari is an Ayurvedic herb that I added in after my second was born. And I find that also ashwagandha can be very kind of strengthening herbs. And I found a good source of it on Rasa Ayurveda website. It's like $15 for a good pack. of shatavari, so I'm taking that and some moringa and yes, just trying to hold and also remembering to take my supplements. I find that in postpartum you get really busy and sleep deprived and your mind doesn't work so well and it can be hard to remember to take all the supplements, but like our vitamins, I guess. I like the Megafood Baby and Me, and they have a nursing, like postpartum Baby and Me supplement that I like. It is very expensive, so I'm kind of waiting on getting my next bottle, but that is one that I really like. Of course, none of this is medical advice. I just find that sometimes hearing from other women what they're doing, what works, what doesn't work, definitely for us, skipping on the vitamin D, I think was possibly why we're so sick this winter. I don't know. I'm kicking myself now. Oy, oy, oy. We all make mistakes, and I do want to share it publicly so that others can learn from this. And if it's something that seems true for them, then they can do what they want with that, with their truth. But all that to say that this April, I'm feeling my mood kind of really dip into some darker places, and I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about it or share about it. Sometimes it's something you want to kind of get over and be able to share later. But there can be something so much more powerful about sharing in the moment of what it actually feels like that I think many women will be able to relate. I've been hosting some prenatal postpartum circles, and they tend to have very good high vibing energy. But I wonder what's kind of hiding under the surface sometimes. Some of these darker emotions don't really get talked about, and it is something that I want to give space to because so many of us experience them, so many of us are living with them, and we have a hard time sometimes sharing it openly with other people. And I've been through this before, and so I find that I'm kind of quote unquote managing it better this time around, just because I have a deep knowing that it's not going to last. I also have a deep knowing that a big part of this is exhaustion and sleep deprivation. And so the first order of business is to make sure I get more sleep. Another thing I did, so okay, this is the reason why I skipped out on the vitamin D was because I was trying the Juice Plus supplements. I don't know if you've heard about them. I have a few friends who do Juice Plus, and of course they're talking about it, marketing it. Of course they do make money from their sales. And some of my friends have been taking it for years and swore by it. So I thought, and it's a whole food supplement. So I thought maybe I won't put my money in my usuals. I will invest in Juice Plus, which is a whole food supplement, which some people swear by. They say it's really great, and that's what I'm gonna do. So that is why I did skip on the vitamin D, vitamin. My grandmother used to say vitamin, so sometimes that I have the desire to say it that way as well. That's why I skipped the vitamin D and got the Juice Plus supplements. And the problem with the Juice Plus supplements is that I did get the berry blend. Usually, the basic package is kind of the vegetable, and then there's a fruit blend, and then there's also a berry blend, like a third type of capsule that you can take. And I love berries, so I thought that would be great to get concentrated berries. But the problem with them is that they have cacao and green tea as like the first two ingredients in there. And when I first read that, I thought, oh, it's not a problem. These are really small amounts. But I was noticing that as that I had a really hard time falling asleep. I would kind of lay in bed, just stare at the ceiling, and I thought maybe it's the full moon. I was kind of eating some chocolate, so I took that out of my diet, and I still had such a hard time falling asleep for like 2 weeks in March. And I decided to cut out the berry blend capsules, and as like the next day I could finally sleep, and I've been able to fall asleep much more easily since stopping those capsules. I find that I'm quite sensitive to chocolate, caffeine, so it makes sense. And sometimes I would take those capsules after dinner and would just have a really hard time falling asleep. So you might relate if you also have sleep issues. I have to for now avoid all those things. I also find that postpartum makes me more sensitive to, well, to everything. Just because our nervous system is so vulnerable from what we're doing, not sleeping, caring for a baby, it really takes a lot. And so we are more sensitive and vulnerable and have to simplify our lives and protect ourselves in all the ways, with the food we eat, with what we expose our mind to, with the people that we're around, and just be really careful about that. And I hope that in the future we will see our culture have more care for postpartum moms. It's kind of coming, but I find it slow, and I find that our generation is talking a lot about it. We talk a lot about it online, but the previous generations are really cut off from what women need in that time and how to care for women in this time. I remember when I was pregnant with my first, I'm going on a tangent, but maybe this might be interesting for you. When I was pregnant with my first, in the yoga world and in the Indian culture, they really want to protect women and take care of women in pregnancy and postpartum. They recognize it culturally as a sacred time. At least this is what I encountered in the yogic and Vedic community. And I remember going to a Hindu temple in Toronto, downtown somewhere. I don't remember which temple. It might be the Hare Krishna temple. And the one of the guys there, who is a priest of some kind or a worker in the temple, he gave me the Krishna Bible, and he said, Bible, the Krishna story book. It's like a thick book. I still have it. It's quite a beautiful book. And he told me to read passages about in this Krishna book that were very good for women in pregnancy. And I'm starting to really understand how important it is to take care of pregnant women and postpartum women, because they are seeding the future. It's like when we're preparing our soil for the garden, we need to have really good, rich soil to have good plants grow. Women are the soil in which our children grow, right? Physically in the womb, and then also in their early childhood years, especially, the mother is very important, and that builds the foundation in the child's physical body and in their emotional and spiritual bodies as well. And now that I see my eldest is encountering some periods of anxiety right now as she goes through the 8-9 year change, and I'm going to share about that in an episode about the raising 8-9 year olds. But I definitely had a lot of anxiety in her pregnancy. I had pretty severe postpartum depression after she was born. There was, turmoil in my family, turmoil in my relationship, lots of turmoil and uncertainty in my life at the time. And I can see that that gave her this weaker foundation where her nervous system is not really grounded. And I find that a lot of my work now with her is to fill her cup in all the ways that it wasn't filled before. And so I do believe that there is a way to rectify this. I think that it will be a gift both for her and for any, and then in how she goes about in the world. We're having some beautiful, deep conversations as she talks to me about her fears and, for example, fears of death, fears of change, wanting things to stay as they were in the past. And she's just getting this veil lifted off her face of what the world's about. And it's very big to see her go through this and to support her in it. But this comes back to protecting our women in their prenatal and postpartum time. And it's something that we have to learn to do for ourselves when we are the woman experiencing it, and also learn to do for our friends and family members as they go through it. And that brings me to what I wanted to talk about in this episode, which was supposed to be short, is that sleep deprivation is like alcohol. We say that alcohol reveals people's true character. When they start drinking, perhaps their personality begins to change and shift. Some people will become funnier. Some people will become more quiet. Some people will become angry. Some people will become sad. And my belief is that alcohol does not show our true character. It shows suppressed emotions and suppressed personality traits, which are not who we truly are, because who we truly are lies even further behind that. For example, if someone who you know is very nice and they start drinking, they become angry and violent, and then people will say, oh, that's who they really are. Well, that might be who is suppressed below a superficial level, but there is something even further behind that, maybe some fears or some trauma that has not been dealt with. And sleep deprivation, I find, is also removing the superficial layers, because I think it takes a lot of energy sometimes to suppress emotions and thoughts, and it takes a lot of energy to not act authentically. Although I will say that, again, that some of the aspects that come out with sleep deprivation are not necessarily our authentic self, but hear me out. What I'm finding is that the more tired and exhausted I am, which is mostly caused by sleep deprivation and also by the constant needs of my three children that I spend a lot of time with because I'm homeschooling them, is that there's a lot of my negative belief patterns and my fears are bubbling up and out. And I can see how before having baby Theo that I had these fears, but they didn't feel so big in my life. They didn't have so much of a presence because I had enough energy to ignore them and put them off to the side, which I think can be fine. We can live a great life with just having fears and allowing them to be and leaving them off to the side, not giving them too much energy and going on about our days. But I find that what's happening now is that these big fears are like right in my face, and it's a great opportunity to get them off the bus. Sometimes I say it's like you're driving in a school bus, and so you're driving and you let your fears be all the way at the back of the bus. It's like they've come all the way to the front of the bus, and now I'm ready to say I either have to harness a lot of energy to push them back to the back of the bus, or I can say, okay, it's time to get off now. I actually don't need you anymore. I'm actually so tired that I can't carry your weight anymore, and I have to choose to be different and choose to let you go. Who would I be without these fears? What would I allow myself to do without these fears? And one of the things I would allow myself to do is podcast, which I'm doing right now as I fold these clothes. But I find that there's this deep rehashing of how I show up in the world, of the personas and personalities and masks that I want to wear in the world, the beliefs I have about myself, who I am within my relationship with my partner, Vitaly. All of these things are kind of shifting. And for me, this has happened after each pregnancy. And I see it happening for others, and for some women, it doesn't seem to happen as deeply. I think that because of some of the radical life choices I've made, where I'm home with my children, I don't have a job to go back to. I find that after every baby, my life has changed significantly, where the work that I do in the world, how I show up for my community when as the baby gets bigger, really shifts after each baby. And I think that again, this is very different for every woman. But part of the reason for it, I believe, is that when babies come through us, they really are coming through us, and they are leaving an energetic imprint in our being as they come through, in, through, and out. And this is scientifically proven in that they have proven that that there are cells from the baby, so they can prove that it's the DNA from the child that are left in the mother's body, in her brain, in all different places in her body, and remain there for the rest of her life. And this happens for every pregnancy that the woman has carried. It's even possible for babies' cells, some of their stem cells, to travel into the mother and heal aspects of herself. And I find that after Theo's pregnancy, I feel a lot stronger in like a deep part of myself. My core is very strong. I feel very strong in my body. My mind and emotions are slightly unstable at the moment, and they were much brighter and joyful after my second pregnancy. And that's very much how my second daughter is. And after Theo, it's more this deep grounding and more like deep contentment that is holding this change that's happening on a more superficial level. And so what I'm finding and what I'm working on is recognizing that this is an incredible opportunity for really shifting how who I am on a superficial level, because who I am as light, as a spiritual light being, child of God, child of Mother Earth, that doesn't change. And my deep desire in my heart is to remove the layers that block the light of who that is, and how that light shows up into the world. And to open my our heart, to not hold regret and resent, or to not have regrets, to not hold resentment and anger towards people who I think have crossed me and wronged me, people who I think aren't helping enough. I've let that go through the winter again, mostly because I couldn't carry it. It's too heavy, and I'm too tired to carry this extra darker energy. And so when all of those layers come off, I still have the moments of deep, deep exhaustion. Really, it really is just what it is. It's pure exhaustion. And without the stories that I have, and the fears that I have, so I have fears about money, fears about how am I going to take care of these three people, fears about who I am, fears about relationships with different people in my life, how they're going to go. And when I can remove all of those fears and stories, because when we're tired and sleep deprived, I don't know about you, but I tend to kind of want to go to those stories. It's like there has been a tendency in my life to increase the drama, and we get a hormonal kick from being sad sometimes, being dramatic, being a victim. We can get a kick from those. It can be a really comfortable place to be in. And I'm finding that I'm less and less comfortable being in that place, which is really exciting, actually. I can notice how I'm navigating these different emotional waves that come through. And a big thing is actually helping my 8-year-old through her emotional waves, because I'm constantly helping her and giving her tips. I'm constantly saying like what needs to be done. This is a wave, it will pass, be with the feeling. We talk about how she's a child of God and a starlight on earth, and that many people are also feeling these fears and anxieties. She says they come up when she doesn't have anything distracting her, which is interesting that she notices this at her age. And yeah, the deep conversations with her are quite helpful, actually. Sometimes also draining because I just need to sleep and she can't fall asleep at 10 p.m. and wants to be with me and have a talk. But these are all the things. And so I find that I'm using this time of isolation. I do feel like I'm isolated in a way. But instead of resenting my community for not being, for not kind of showing up for me in the way that I was resenting them, I do acknowledge that many in my community don't have the space right now to hold someone and to show up for someone. People really have a lot on their plate, and there's a lot going on with prices rising in the world. And I get it with full love and compassion. And as much as I want to build a culture and a community that holds and helps women so they don't need to be this exhausted, this is not my experience. It's not my reality. And there's no need for the resentment towards other people to not be giving more and be giving what I want. When I really sit with it, I think that this time of isolation and coming into myself can be a really great gift and an amazing time to undo a lot of the knots that I want to be undone. This is actually one of my highest desires in life, is to undo the knots in my mind and heart, to feel complete peace and love and wisdom and faith, and to feel that joy and bliss in my body at all times as is possible. I suppose one could call that a step towards enlightenment in some way. I want that feeling, and I want to share it with others. That is a very high desire of mine, and so this is an incredible time to be doing that. And being super exhausted and sleep deprived is helping me towards this goal if I choose so, and is exposing the fears that I have. So I'm not giving them energy. I'm able to process and let go of things on my own much better. And so it's great practice that will only bring more fruits in the future for myself, for my family, and for others. And I hope this conversation helped you. There's some exciting things coming. I'm setting out the intention that I will be able, or that I am a joyful, thriving mompreneur, homeschooling mompreneur. That makes me feel so happy when I say that. And so what are the exciting things coming? I'm working on building a website. I'm working on beginning to offer QHHT meditation experiences. I will have a episode coming out soon about more details on what that looks like and where I'm at with that practice now. I am working towards doing a mother's energetic closing ceremony this May, which I'm looking forward to. And again, I hope I have the energy and resources to hold and host, but I'm very much looking forward to it. And we are looking to go to Montreal and be part of a garden and bringing in a statue, creating a sacred garden with my friend Chelsea from my energy school. And I'm going to be hosting a group past life regression QHHT type experience there. And that is something I'd like to bring in online. There are a lot more podcast episodes coming out. Stay tuned. Oh, Lauren's podcast episode just got published today. Very important information for all women, really, and birth workers, as to what women experience when they experience a loss. And stay tuned for my friend Samantha's podcast story, where she will be sharing her two cesarean births followed by two home births outside of the system. And after that, I hope to share my birth stories and share a little bit about homeschooling, the 8-9 year change, as I already said, and maybe some farming stuff this summer. So stay tuned for all of that. Thank you, friends, for listening. Please reach out with comments and feedback. Right now on Instagram at This Raw Mom Life is the best place, but stay tuned in the description of the episode, where in the show notes, where I will be updating the best place to contact me, coming out with an email address and my website soon, and that will be the best consistent place to connect with me if you don't have Instagram. And with that, I wish you a beautiful day, no matter what the weather is and what is going on with your life. May you be connected to your inner light, and may you know that you are a loved child of God and Goddess.